Couple of weeks ago, I talked to you about the four horsemen and the seal judgments. Last Sunday, we talked about God's plans for Israel. Today, I'm going to be talking about the value of prophecy. The value of prophecy. If you turn this morning in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to talk about the value of prophecy. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. That verse should already be marked in every Bible here. Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Lord God, help us today. Use us today. Help us to rightly divide the word of God and to challenge hearts to create an interest, Lord, in what you have said in your word about prophecy because of how important that it is. And Lord, may you receive honor and glory throughout every life in this sanctuary. Because of the word of God instilled in their hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One third of the Bible is prophecy. Did you know that? Think about a third of your Bible is prophecy. Prophecy is history pre-written. Did you get that? Prophecy is history pre-written. God said a long time ago what's going to happen. People are worrying today with a lot of worries and concerns about things that they shouldn't be because God's already told us in His Word what's going to happen. This means God is telling us ahead of time what's going to happen before it happens. The Bible tells us we're going to have troubles in this world. Have you had any troubles? Amen. Amen. For example, the Old Testament written hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, listen to this, contains over 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled from His life, His death, and His resurrection. His life, His death, His resurrection fulfilled over 300 prophecies that was pre-written in the Old Testament. That's amazing, isn't it? Think of over 300 prophecies Jesus fulfilled that were made hundreds of years earlier and how men like Moses, Abraham, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Zechariah, and others prophesied and that God was working through them to give these prophecies. Hundreds of years ago, and yet when Jesus came, He fulfilled what they said. Fulfilled prophecy demonstrates and proves the divine inspiration of the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. So what we're seeing in prophecy being fulfilled is that there is someone that knew all about what was going to happen and told men about it, and they wrote it down, and it came to pass hundreds of years later. just like they said that it would. The center of all prophecy, church, is Jesus Christ himself. He is the center of it. Prophecy tells of the coming and sufferings of the Son of God. For example, in Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah wrote 700 years before Christ, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's who Jesus Christ was, and Isaiah said that 700 years before he was born. In Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5, talks about his suffering. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hath hid, as it were, our faces from him. Surely he hath bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Again, Isaiah wrote that 700 years before Christ. And Christ, when he came, experienced all that for us. In Psalms 22, David wrote, "A thousand years before Christ came, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet." Psalms 22:14-16. Let me tell you something. When you hear this crowd today that don't believe this book is the Word of God, they don't know what they're talking about. Amen. Amen. Prophecy proves the authenticity of this book. Amen. Prophecy. What God has said long ago through the prophets. And we have seen much of it fulfilled. Do you know there's a lot more to be fulfilled? There's a lot of prophecy that's not been fulfilled. All the sufferings and wanderings that's befallen Israel in the past, their present lot, scattered among the nations of the earth, what is yet to come upon them, tribulation and judgment, as well as blessings as peace, are all pre-written in the prophetic word of God. And so you look at the nation of Israel. Look what's happened to her. God said it would happen to her like that. You go all the way back to Deuteronomy. And Moses writing the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 28 through 32, talks all about the blessings if you obey God and the curse and curses if you disobey God as a nation. And folks, they've happened to Israel. They chose to disobey. And they have suffered, and they have yet the worst suffering yet to come. Be worse than the days of Hitler. That's going to be sad, isn't it? Going to be sad. Today, many people seek astrology, wizards, fortune tellers, tarot cards, palm readers, psychics, trying to learn the future. This book here will tell you the future. Yeah. So would you like to know what God has planned for the future? This book will tell you. All you got to do is get into it. And you know, prophecy should make you hunger to know what God's plan is. Because God's plan is wonderful for all those people wise enough to believe what God has did for mankind in sending his Son into the world. In Leviticus 19:31, The Bible says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. We're not supposed to go to palm readers and tarot cards and all those kind of things, astrology, because God says it's wrong. It's wrong. It's demonic, folks. It's demonic. I even hesitate sometime. I'm going through the channel and hit channel 6 over there at Pembroke, and they'll show what your astrology, what you call those things, what your reading is for today. Yeah, the horoscopes, yeah. Yeah, I even hesitate to even glance at them when I see them pop up on the screen. But you were not supposed to follow stuff like that. This is what God said for us to follow. This is what God says for us to follow. In Leviticus 20:6, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, God says, and will cut him off from among the people. That was one of the big mistakes of Saul, remember. He sought to have Samuel raised from the dead. God says, we're not to seek after wizards and people with familiar spirits. Prophecy gives us the most conclusive evidence that the Bible is the inspired and infallible Word of God. And so when you learn about God said this is going to happen, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem, just like the Scriptures had said it would be. Jesus was born of a virgin, just like the Scriptures said it would be. The Bible is true, folks. Don't let some educated professor tell you any different. Just because somebody's educated don't mean they're educated right. You can be educated wrong. Prophecy gives us the most conclusive evidence that this Bible is the inspired and infallible Word of God. Let me repeat that. The prophetic word neglected leaves man ignorant of God's plan and leaves man prey to deception and delusive theories. You know, one of the theories today that is just taking souls right and left to hell is this theory of evolution, that there is no God, that man just evolved out of a mud hole somewhere and become a monkey. And then he came something else, and finally he become a man after billions of years. Folks, this is a big lie. If you'd have saw Adam, the first man, he'd have looked just like us. Eve would have looked just like us. They were people. They was the first ones. But the lie is, and professors in these colleges, just about all of them, and in our school, public school system. Amen. I remember when I was sitting in class, and they gave us our history book or geography book or some kind of book, and I saw this 4 or 5 men, and one of them looked like a monkey, and the next one looked like he was a little bit more than a monkey towards human, and then they come all the way up to he was fully human. Folks, that's a lie. That's evolution's theory. It's of the devil. And when I, as a young boy, had never heard of such in my life till I opened that book and I saw that, I knew that didn't look right. That weren't right, Brother Chavis. I knew that weren't right. Amen. I'd been in church. And I knew God had made man. And yet our young people are sucking it up today. You know why they're sucking it up today? Because of a professor. He's got on a necktie. And he's got a big sign that says, I'm a doctor. I'm a PhD. I know. And the young people believe. And mom and dad from the old Baptist churches, they're ignorant and don't know nothing. It's a lie. Mom and dad do know something. Mom and dad do know something. The prophetic word puts before our hearts things not yet seen. Boy, there's things not yet seen we're going to see one day. Woo! You know what? The only way you can say it, going to be out of this world. Going to be out of this world. And only the few that believe what this book says about Jesus Christ is going to get to see those things. Amen. Amen? Let me share with you some of the future plans of God. Okay? Let me remind you that Jesus said he was building all believers a home. How you like that? Jesus is building a home. Well, when Jesus builds us a home, folks, it's going to be perfect. There ain't going to be no pipes a-leaking. There ain't going to be no corners in the building that's not square. Amen? It's going to be a perfect home. And I like to look over once in a while in Revelation chapter 20, and I like to see it. A little preview of what our home looks like. Amen? Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the Word of God, has said he's going to come back and get us. I believe it. You believe it? Amen. I believe it. I believe it. He said, I'm going to build you a place. He said, my Father's house are many mansions. Listen, he didn't say he's going to give you a mansion. The houses of mansions are already there. He's going to build us something better than a mansion. Amen? I tell you, whatever it is, when we're with the Lord, it's going to be very satisfying. We're going to be very satisfied. Jesus also said Satan, his demons, with all the wicked, would be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone in Matthew 25:41. That hadn't happened yet. It's going to happen. We live in a world today, people don't believe there's a hell. People don't believe there's a devil. People don't believe that God would throw them in such a place as a lake of fire. Hey, look at that man in Luke 16. He said, I'm in the flames. I'm tormented by the flames. And that ain't even the lake of fire yet. That's just a warm-up. Sad to say. Yes. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. He said that to people. Prepared for the devil and his angels. It's going to happen. You think of the billions and billions of people that's going to be dumped into the lake of fire. And everyone was loved by God just as much as he loved you. Just as much as he loved you, they'll be dumped into the lake of fire. Think about that. We're told we will receive a glorified body when this old body has been redeemed at the rapture. Our bodies are redeemed at the rapture. If you're in the cemetery, your body, it'll be redeemed. If you're living at the rapture, your body will be redeemed while you're standing on your feet. Boy, that'll be a transaction, won't it? Praise the Lord. Listen, the Bible says we're going to get a glorified body. And yet it's a tangible body. And yet it's a body like the Lord. It's a body that'll never get old. It won't have no arthritis, Earl. You won't have to replace your hip joints every 5 years. You ladies won't have to go down and see the hairstylist to dye your hair. Amen?
Amen.
Did I say something ugly? Dye your hair. Amen? We're going to get a glorified body that won't ever get old. Won't ever get old. Won't ever have any aches and pains. Folks, heaven's going to be heaven. Did y'all know that? Do you get excited about going there? You know, you could be there today. Some people will be there today. Yeah. As we have bore the image of the earthly, that's what you got now. You got an earthly body. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We're going to have a heavenly body, folks, to live in forever. Folks, listen, live forever. Today we all live in fear of dying. We're in a dying world. When we get to heaven, that word dying is not there, nor death. It's not ever mentioned in heaven. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number four, sudden rapture of the church is going to happen one day without any warning. I saw a video clip the other day. Me and Faye was watching David Reagan's, one of his programs, and they had a video to illustrate that. And there was a crowd of people about a little bit bigger than our crowd here, and all of a sudden, boom, there was a pop like that, and there was only four or five people left. And everybody was gone. It was to demonstrate that teaching of the rapture. It's going to happen one day. I hope the rapture happened. We are out here, and I hope that every seat's empty. Amen. 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 Just leave the hymn books. Amen. Because we can sing praises when we get there. Amen. Yeah. For the Lord Himself. You know what? The Lord's not going to send an angel to get us. He's going to come Himself. It's a personal coming of the Lord to get those of us that's been saved by His grace. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Think about the cemeteries from the day of Pentecost to the rapture, when all those dead saints of the Lord are suddenly, whoa! And their bodies have come up, and their soul and spirits come from heaven and gone back into those new bodies. And then they make a U-turn and they go back up. Amen? And we'll be down here preaching. Maybe we'll get to be preaching and boom, we're gone. Hallelujah, folks. The rapture's going to happen. It's prophesied in the Word of God. People sneer at that today. People make fun about that today. Slur at it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And every minute gets us closer to that hour. Number five, the scriptures all tell us we believers are going to be judged one day. You know what's going to happen when the rapture takes place? We're going to be brought to the judge. You got to be judged. The Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. For the saved people, we'll all be saved before the judge. You know, think about all the saved people standing before the Lord. Are we going to get in a line and go one by one by one by one? I doubt it. I think the Lord is so great that He can judge everybody in 3 minutes. Yeah. What are you doing for the Lord? That's what He's going to be looking at. He's going to open up the books. He's going to see, okay, sister, What did you do for me since I saved you? How good a wife have you been? You been a good wife? You cook good for your husband, I give you a good husband. The Lord's going to judge us. See what kind of husbands. How did we do our job? Did you really work? All of that, all of our life from the day we were saved is recorded. Even our thoughts, even our intention. Now that really gets down to it when you get down to your intention. God's got it all recorded. We're going to be judged. And then it'll be determined, do we get any kind of a reward or crown? See, well, you can't work for salvation. You can work after you're saved and be rewarded. God, I've told you all many times, in this life, God don't reward you. God blesses you in this life. He rewards us, if we've earned any, when we get to heaven. I don't have time to get into all of that, but I just need to remind you, there's a judgment day coming to determine how faithful you serve the Lord. And that's going to determine your place of service, my place of service, forever in heaven. Because everybody's not going to have the same level. It's going to be just like in this world here to some degree. Or just like in the armed services. There's PFCs, there's privates, there's corporals, there's sergeants, right on up the ladder. And in heaven it'll be the same way determined by how we serve the Lord after He saved us. Our faithfulness determines that. For other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. You see, we're building on Christ. Our life is being built on Christ. What kind of life are we building on Christ? And we're going to be judged for that. The way we live today as believers is so important, folks. So important. Well, that's interesting. My next page is blank. But I got another page. I'm not going to be discussing with them and our thoughts today, but be mindful of this. We're not all going to have the same level of service to Christ in heaven. In 1 John 2:28, listen to this. You might want to mark this in your Bible because it's that important. 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in Him. That means stay in fellowship with the Lord, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence. And listen to the next phrase, church, and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. You see, if we're not living right when the rapture takes place, we can be ashamed because we weren't giving Him our best. You see that, folks? In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. See, it's important we be in this Bible. I don't know how much glue I have used. This is about my fourth Thompson Bible. And I just have to keep getting the glue bottle and keep gluing it to keep it together. Use your Bible. Mark it up. Study. To show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And me and Brother Chavis encountered this guy the other day. Oh, he knew a lot about the Bible, but it was all wrong. It didn't match my Bible. Number six, the destruction of Satan and his angels is all predicted in the Bible, folks. Did you know there's a devil? Every time I preach on the devil, I catch it. You can ask my wife. She sees it too. I've been on the radio this week 6 days preaching on the devil. And I caught it. He don't like it to be exposed. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, God and his word has told us that there's a special prepared place for the devil. It's the lake of fire and brimstone. That word brimstone means that the lake of fire is going to be a rotten, stinking, smelly place besides the fire. In Revelation 20, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Think about being in the lake of fire with the devil that deceived you. And that will happen to billions of people, no doubt. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 10 and 15. If your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, your eternal home is the lake of fire and brimstone. The Bible tells us and prophesies that we're going to get a new home. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. This world is going to pass away, folks. Everything in this church is going to be destroyed. It's going to be burnt up if it's still around when that takes place. Of course, that won't happen until 1,000 years from now at the end of Christ's millennial reign. So I don't have no idea this church will be here that long. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The church is going to be breathtaking, folks. It's going to be sparkling. It's going to have the glory of God, and human language will not convey to us the glory of God, the beauty of the glory of God. That's waiting on people wise enough to accept Christ as their Savior. And the Bible says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Think about this. God Almighty, the Father, is going to dwell with us. God is sitting on his throne now. Although his spirit's here, yet he's still in heaven on his throne. One day, he's going to come down to the earth, to new earth, in this new Jerusalem, our home. And he's going to be with us. This awesome one that's made all things for himself. And this awesome one wants to share all he has with us. Would you like to share all your money with me? The Lord wants to share all he has with me. You might not, but he does. I'd never thought of that before till right now. Think about it. The Apostle Peter prophesied that this earth is going to be melted down. Think about it. A fire so intense and immense that this whole earth that's 9,000 miles in diameter and about 25,000 miles in circumference. Think about one day it's going to be a ball of fire melting down. Why? Purge it from sin that man has put here. Contaminated God's property. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, beginning at verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, even the heavens, shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness? You see what God is going to do? God means business. I'm going to melt this world down, and the heavens are going to flee away. If he's that kind of God, Peter said, you and I ought to take life serious. We ought to take life serious here, because we're not dealing with just a man. We're dealing with God Almighty, who has all power. The new earth will be a large landmass, the new earth that's formed, without any oceans or seas. The new Jerusalem will be here, and there will be nations of the world that's coming in and out of the New Jerusalem. Bible scholars don't understand all this yet about these nations. My belief is this. My thinking is this. I could be wrong. It's just my theory. The church is the bride of Christ. The New Jerusalem's our home. But people that saved outside of the church age that come from other nations, they might be the people in those nations that make up those nations. I don't know. I know God's got it all planned out. I've been talking to you about prophecy today. What God says in his word is true. You believe the word? What God has said in the past has come true. And God has got a lot of prophecies yet to be fulfilled. I have no doubt they won't be fulfilled. They'll be fulfilled just like he said. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There won't be no more devils coming along to mess anything up. And there ain't going to be no Democrats there, praise God. Nor Republicans. Let me close by saying this to you today. Listen to me. It took 4,000 years after it was prophesied for Jesus Christ to come. It took 4,000 years. Think about that, folks. God said, I'm going to send a Messiah. And people waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. But he came. Delay don't mean it won't be fulfilled. God's got the date, it'll be fulfilled. God says it's going to happen. We got to believe what God says, because he's a God of truth. He can't lie. It took 2,500 years for the Jews to get back in their land after they were drove out. God said, I'm going to drive you out. God said, I'm going to bring you back. In my lifetime, and most of you, in your lifetime, God brought Israel back to her land and made her a recognized nation again in 1948. In the last couple of years, our own president has said Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and he has now put our embassy there. Folks, we're getting closer. We're inching closer to the rapture. God is fulfilling his word in our midst. We're looking at it. Are y'all getting the fever? We've been waiting for the return of Jesus to get his church nearly 2,000 years. But he ain't coming. And the scoffers are saying, he ain't coming. The Lord ain't going to come. Peter said there'd be scoffers in the last days. Well, let them scoff. One day while their mouth is full of scoffing, he's coming. But then they'll choke on their mouth full. Amen. Because he's coming. Praise God, I believe this book. Praise God, I believe it. I preach it, I believe it. I know it's true. He's coming. His coming is intimate. That word intimate means there's nothing got to be fulfilled in Scripture before he could come. He could come at any second. He could come now. In fact, the Scripture says, Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. In fact, my brother down in South Carolina, out on the top of his church, his workshop, he's got Maranatha, even so come, Lord. You've probably seen it. Luke 12:40. Be ye therefore ready. For the Son of Man cometh in an hour. You think not. He's coming. He's coming. Only Jesus came to make us ready. Only Jesus can make us ready to live with him forever. Only he can make us ready. Being good is not going to get you. Being a church member is not going to do it. Being religious is not going to do it. You got to be ready. How can I be ready? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Thou shalt be saved. If you want excitement and to be spiritual enlightened, study prophecy. Study what the Bible says is going to happen. Study what the Bible says would happen and did happen. It's a blessing. It's an encouragement. It'll put joy in your heart and your life. Make you feel younger. Amen. Make you keep looking up, expecting to hear the Lord. Say, come up here. Because he's going to call each one of us by our name. I don't know how he's going to do that, but he's going to do it. Amen. And all these different Jameses that's around, he'll get the right one, James Wilson. Amen. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the prophetic word of God. Thank you for allowing us to stand here today and share it with the body of Christ. Lord, excite your people, Lord. Help us to be excited, loving you, serving you, sharing you, enjoying you. And we'll give thanks always in our Savior's name. Amen and amen. Hey, believe on the Lord. You know the Lord? If you haven't trusted the Lord, accept him as your Savior. Get to know him. Get to love him. Get to serve him. Get to enjoy him.